Excuse me, this is the conference coordinator. The conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Speakers, you may begin.
Thank you very much. This is Brian Cute. This is the August 16th conference call of the Accountability and Transparency Review Team. And welcome to all of you on the call and those listening. First, for the review team members, has anyone not received a copy of the draft agenda? Okay, hearing none. Any suggested changes to the draft agenda? Hearing none, let's proceed through the agenda. This evening's call, we have 90 minutes budgeted. We have a few items to get through. Most importantly, though, since this is our last call before we go to our face-to-face meeting in Beijing, it's important that we tie down any loose ends or issues going into the Beijing meeting. And Mr. Zhang and Feng are here present. If there's anything that you need from us, please speak up on this call, and we'll make sure that you get it before we all head off onto the planes to come join you in Beijing.
Also, I have received all agenda, but at first, I think I asked Mr. Guo to give us some explanation for China meeting or Beijing meeting. Is that possible?
Absolutely. Certainly. Did you want to present some information now, Feng, or do you want to wait?
We are now preparing for the Beijing meeting, and I think Alice have proposed to set up a call to discuss the logistic issues with us, and we will see which time is suitable for both sides between Alice and us to discuss the issue this week.
Very, very good. We're still hearing a significant echo. Could that be regulated, please?
Yeah, apparently it's coming from Fabio's line, so they're trying to fix this. We'll, so I'm coordinating stuff with Verizon operator.
Okay, thank you. So, Feng, you're setting up a call with Alice to work through the logistics, the support for the meeting, I understand. Is there anything that you need from any of the review team members? I know you're coordinating transportation.
Yes.
Anything at all that's outstanding?
Thank you. Thank you very much. You're welcome.
Okay.
And I think I have all of the invitation letters have been issued. And we are now arranging the hotel airport transportation upon the request of the review team member.
Very good. I know we're jumping ahead a bit on the agenda because we have the Beijing face-to-face meeting at the end. But while we're on topic at the opening, is there anybody on the review team who needs a visa, who hasn't gotten a visa or is having a problem on that issue? Okay, hearing none. Okay, Feng, I'll leave it to you and to Alice to have a call and go over any of the logistics. And if there's anything, any problems or questions, feel free to contact me and I'll help to coordinate the resolution.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, tonight we've got item number two, which is an update on the working group's respective progress. And in the Adobe room, we have the four working teams up on the screen. So why don't we just go in order, and let's get a report on progress in from each of the teams in order. Team number one, Olivier Murhol. If you would, Olivier.
Yes, I'm here. So I don't see the Adobe room, but just concerning the composition of the team, as decided last meeting, Chris and I will co-chair the team, the other members being Fabio, Willy, Brian, and Mr. Tsang. Okay. Concerning the scope, there was one point that we discussed with Chris, is that in the Berkman statement, you know, that you released, Brian, you included in the scope of the working group one, dispute resolution and complaint handling. And I think it should be within working group four, right? Chris and I think it should be with working group four, right? Okay.
Olivia, it's Chris. Brian, I thought that maybe I've misunderstood, but I thought that had already been agreed. Or is that something else?
Yeah, but the problem is that in the statement it wasn't written like that.
Right.
In the Beckman statement.
Okay.
It was a drafting issue in that statement on my end.
Okay. So there's no problem, but everybody agrees it's in working group four, right?
Yes.
Okay. So concerning the work plan, we have a first phase of analysis of the comments that are received and sorting them by topics, and then we will work on a draft proposal on a selected list of topics. Now, concerning the analysis of the topics, we had a list that governance, selection and composition of the board, necessary skill set, accessibility, decision making, and we added communication with the community. When we read the comments, there are three topics that seems to stand out very strongly from the comments. One is the board composition and the role of the nominating committee. A lot of comments on this topic. Second topic that's coming out quite strongly, and it's related to two subtopics that were mentioned in our scope, that is the decision making and the communication with the community. And this topic that's coming out very strongly is the transparency of the decision making of the board and the explanation of the decision to the community. And the third topic that's coming out very strong, but I don't think it's really from in working group one, it's the question of multiculturalism, multi-language. So I think, I understand it will be handled by working group three, right? There are a lot of comments on the question of the language barrier. It's something that's not done many working groups, but I think it's working group three, right? Right?
Correct.
Okay. And now there are some topics that are very difficult to sort in categories, and I want to mention them just to have them on the table. There was one comment, for example, from the Internet Society of China on the IANA contract. They said the existence of the IANA contract eliminates the possibility that ICANN can be fully accountable and transparent. So this is a question. And I don't know within which working group it should be handled. Other topics that are also general is the question, for example, of IP addressing. There are comments that they are not visible enough inside the ICANN context. Most of the work is on domain names, and now addresses almost disappear from the topic for example, in the meetings, in ICANN's meetings. So these are examples of topics where I don't know where in what working group they should be handled, and I'm open to hear your comment on that.
Thank you for doing that, Olivier. I think that's something I hope each of the working groups can report out, the topics in the comments that were relevant to their area of study that don't seem to fit cleanly, because we really should do an inventory of those. Their issues raised by the community, and they should be treated in some manner. So if you can,
have you
documented those in writing?
No. We will do it. No, not yet.
That would be helpful.
There are more than two examples. And the question is, they shouldn't be orphans. That's the problem.
Right.
Brian,
no, that would be very helpful.
Brian, it's Chris. Olivier has actually done a document looking at them from Working Group 1, but it hasn't we haven't considered it as a working group yet, but absolutely we will provide a note of those things that we don't think fit within the scope of this working group that might fit somewhere else.
Very good. Thank you.
And we have, we have a meeting tomorrow at 1 UTC where we're going to decide about who is going to work on the draft proposal on the important topics that we have already detected. And we also will finalize the list that Chris mentioned.
Very good. Olivier, Chris, have you had any discussions yet about the forward-going fact-finding as you gather the relevant facts to the questions posed and then build towards an analysis and ultimately some conclusions or recommendations as a working group?
Once we have selected the topics that seem to be most important from the comments, then we will do it. And, for example, concerning the composition of the board, there is a lot of background information, like the BCG report and things like that. And Chris has written also a paper on the composition of the board. I mean, we have quite some materials.
Okay, so the composition of the board, the NOMCOM, decision-making by the board, both transparency and explanation of the decisions, is your provisional list of potential issues, not final list.
So far, yes.
Okay.
And concerning the decision-making and the communication with the community, Fabio has mentioned already something in Brussels, and I'm sure we will work on this ID.
Okay, very good. Anything else to report out? Anything else?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, thank you.
As I said, we have a meeting of the group tomorrow morning. Tomorrow at 1.
Yes. Any questions for Olivier from the review team? I don't see any hands. Okay, then thank you, Olivier. Let's move to team number 2, Willie Curry.
Thanks, Ron. Well, we are not as quite as advanced as Working Group 1 in the sense that we haven't been able to fully analyze the public comment or the output from the meetings in Brussels.
We mostly work on the written comments, so we have some extra work to finish on the comments. Don't get the impression we've analyzed all of the comments. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. But we do have before us a second version of the work plan, and I've put together a document of extracts from key documents which we would need to consider in reviewing the GAC and its interaction with the board. In a way, what we're dealing with is what could be seen as a double articulation, in the sense that we are also needing to review how ICANN assesses the role and effectiveness of the GAC. In that regard, the work of the board GAC joint working group, I think, will be quite important, in the sense that its mandate is to review precisely that. The interaction between the board and the GAC. So in a sense, what seems to be coming through is that the comments generally are fairly supportive of the importance of the GAC's role, but do point up certain concerns around how its advice is put together and inserted into the board's deliberations and the policy development processes of the SOs. And I think what's interesting is that this issue of advice and the nature of advice, as we saw in our meetings in Brussels, is fairly central. And I think that's probably where most of the energy or focus of the working group will need to be directed. And I think the three areas that are likely to be important in that respect would be the new GTLD process and the IDN CCTLD process, as well as the .xxx decision. But in addition to that, I think we do have concrete examples from the GAC communiques and their principles documents and a number of letters of exchange between the board and the GAC, or GAC and the board, that will be useful to analyze and look at. So I think in terms of process, I had thought that we could have a face-to-face meeting in Beijing to try and finalize the plan and do the analysis, but that's perhaps leaving it too late. So Manal has suggested we have a teleconference before Beijing to do a preliminary analysis of the comments and meeting input and finalize the work plan so that we get to Beijing with that sorted out. That said, I think it would still be important to find some kind of face-to-face time for the working group to talk through some of the sort of conceptual issues related to the talk.
Willie, at the outset of your comments, were you suggesting interaction between Working Group 2 and the Joint Working Group, the GAC and Board Joint Working Group, or just Working Group 2 utilizing the documents generated by the Joint Working Group as a foundation for the work?
No, I think the way we have it in our work plan is that first we need to do our preliminary assessment and analysis, and then develop a set of deeper questions that we would need to take to the board or the joint working group for, you know, to dig in a bit deeper. So post Beijing, I would think we would spend most of September trying to deepen that analysis and through interviews or some form of discussion just clarify what we need to know there.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from the RT for Willie?
Brian, Peter here. Can I just compliment Willie on the approach? I think we really have to make sure that we turn Beijing into the most useful possible session, and the work that Olivier's group's done beforehand, and Willie's suggestion that they'll have another that group will have a teleconference beforehand. That, I think that's what we have to do, so that when we get to Beijing, we can get as much done in the face-to-face time as possible.
Thanks, Peter. I agree wholeheartedly with that. Any other comments from the review team or questions for Willie? Okay, hearing none. Let's move to team number three. Cheryl Langdenor, please.
Thank you, Brian. Building on our last report, we've had the opportunity, mainly with the summary of the public comments now coming in, to look at those with the template that was previously provided for us. We have, however, got a challenge that we need to meet in this next week or so before we head off to Beijing, and that is how we integrate the relevant comments that were collected during the Brussels meeting. So there's a number of PDFs of transcripts of meetings, and I would like to think that if we make the template, once we've put those highlights that affect the work of Team 3 into our template, that we might also ask the general ATRC members if there are any notes or comments that they might have captured during the Brussels meeting that haven't been captured in exactly the same way as we have. The only other thing I was a little concerned about, and one that I haven't raised with the rest of the team yet, is a couple of missing bits, one which I was very aware of, and that was because Alice received an email on the 21st of June from Matthias Lanninger from the at-large staff, passing on the statement, which should be equal to a response to public comment, or certainly equal to a formal proposal of statement from the meetings in Brussels. And that hasn't been captured either in the records of the Brussels meeting or, to my knowledge, sent to the ATRC list. So I think we just need to each of us have a little careful look to make sure we have, in fact, properly captured all the input. Another piece is slightly missing, although this fits into what was raised earlier when we were discussing the work of Team One, and that is how we capture things that don't fit into our particular team work programs. And that was the critical comment that was raised in Brussels regarding fellowship and, of course, the responses that Mandy Carver and her team gave to us at the time. And I just think while we're running that audit, Brian, we need to make sure that we're capturing those things that went on, particularly in Brussels, where we need to close the loop. And they need to be, not dealt with in the work teams, but noted that they are out there and that we haven't ignored them. Other than that, we'll be hoping that we get a hell of a lot done between now and meeting in Beijing. We did suggest that we would have face-to-face meeting in Beijing. That was, I think, probably now looking at this a little bit too late. We need to do a lot more in terms of getting the transcripts reviewed before we get there on the ground. But if we can use our face-to-face time in Beijing to have the rest of the team establish that we've captured those parts of Team 3's work properly from their memories and notes of the Brussels meeting in particular, that will be most helpful. That's about it.
Thanks very much, Cheryl. And I'm going to echo everything that you just said. I think it's very important for each of the working groups that we arrive in Beijing with as much of our review of the comments and review of the meetings in Brussels, and you're quite right to point to the meetings in Brussels as being an important source of information for us as we get into issue identification and fact-finding, that we need to accomplish as much as we can in terms of issue identification, fact-finding, having our analytical approach lined up as working groups, and be moving smartly toward developing conclusions or recommendations as working groups when we head out of Beijing. I'll talk to Alice after this call and see if we can't devise an organized way to make the Brussels meetings, calls, transcripts available to the respective working groups and report something back to you all as soon as Alice and I have had a chat on that front. Any questions for Cheryl from the review team members? Hearing none, thank you, Cheryl. Moving to team number four, Warren Edelman, unfortunately, is absent. James Bledel, I know that you're here. Are you in a position to just summarize? There was a working group call of team number four. Can you just give a high-level summary of the outputs of that call, please?
Certainly, Brian. Thank you.
Warren.
This is James speaking. And Warren had asked that I extend his apologies if this time conflicts with a board meeting. So since our last conference call for the ATRT, the Working Group 4 has met as a team, and we've produced three separate documents, a framework for outlining the approach, an evaluation matrix that outlines the different accountability mechanisms and what the criteria that will be used to evaluate them. This document pretty much tracks the framework. We've gone through Fiona's index of the public comments and aligned them to the task of Working Group 4, and we have a draft timeline as well. There is one item that we will be working on here pretty closely, which is submitting an RFI, a request for information, on some of the use cases of these mechanisms to ICANN staff and to the Ombudsman. And Brian, I think that you would probably prefer we work that request through you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so we're going to be working on that. And then finally, on our last call, Larry raised an issue that we may have overlooked. Probably I won't do it justice, Larry. If you'd like to speak to that briefly, welcome to. Otherwise, we're just going to continue on this this path.
Well, just very briefly, it was the issue of the extent to which California law might limit the options that are available for review of board decisions, and I just had indicated that I would undertake to gather some more information on that to help inform our deliberations.
Thanks, Larry. I knew I would probably fumble that. So that's where we stand, Brian.
Okay, thanks, James. Question, were those documents that have been developed by Working Group 4 shared just with Working Group 4, or are they on the list? Are they on the ATRT list?
I believe so. I believe they were sent out on Friday of this last
week.
They were, Brian. I have a question about one of them, if I might. I couldn't read it on either my iPhone or my laptop. The spreadsheet, James, does not compute.
Okay, I'm hearing that's multiple reports now that folks are unable to open that spreadsheet. So I will respond to Warren's message with a clean copy, and hopefully that one will work. If there are further troubles, I'll upload it to Google Docs.
Thank you.
And I'll encourage other working group members. I'm not going to try to impress uniformity in approach and document management to each working group, but to the extent that those documents provide any useful guides to follow or copy as you organize your own work, please let's all share our respective work amongst each other, and if that's useful, please feel free to use that as a guide. Any questions with regard to Working Group 4 from the team? Okay, hearing none. Any other questions with regard to the working groups before we move on to item 3 on the agenda? Okay, hearing none, let's move to item 3 on the agenda, which is an update on Berkman's progress. We do have Caroline Nolan on the call, I hope. Are you there, Caroline?
Yes. Yes, I am. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Caroline. Welcome to the call. I had sent out to the list earlier today a working outline of Berkman's suggested deliverable work plan for Beijing. Caroline, if you wouldn't mind walking the review team through that work plan for Beijing deliverables and the thinking behind it, let's have a fulsome discussion on that. And then after we're done with that, if you could give the rest of the team an update on the overall work of Berkman to date and the direction that's heading.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So thank you all for having me on the call. As Brian noted, I did share an updated timeline and deliverable for the midterm report for discussion, and certainly for your input based on the last call that we had a couple of weeks ago. As discussed and as outlined in this document, we've outlined the deliverables in terms of three areas. The first would be an update on the working case studies. We have made quite a good deal of progress in the past couple of weeks on developing fact-finding and other analysis related to the three case studies, including the XXX case, DNS cert, and the introduction of new GLDs. We expect for the August 30th to 31st meeting to have working drafts of those case studies, and we hope to allot some time for full discussion with all of you. In addition, we will expect to present a progress report detailing the activities thus far, some of the outputs, and certainly key learnings to date. We'll also provide an update on what the process has been for fact-finding related to the case studies, analysis of public comments, and also an associated interview process. So as in tandem with the case studies, we've been developing questionnaires to deepen our analysis and understanding of the cases themselves, and we hope to present the initial findings there. In addition, as discussed and recommended in the last call, we'll present some working hypotheses, which I hope that we will have the opportunity to work with the working groups or to discuss with this group where you are in your own working hypotheses, and to ensure that we are working from the same vocabulary and have a similar approach. And to that end, we hope to focus in particular on gathering your input to help structure our thinking for the next stage of the process. The final piece of the deliverable for the Beijing meeting would be a public input memo. So this will be the deeper dive in the analysis of the public submissions process, and in particular utilizing two to four case examples. I think the three that we've outlined thus far connect with the case studies I mentioned previously. The response to your call for public comments, and to that end, this conversation has been very useful as we seek to do our own analysis and review the comments, and I certainly look forward to hearing more on how we can integrate the findings from the meeting in Brussels as well. The expression of interest proposal, and finally the IRT team. So those were the three pieces that we have outlined for the Beijing report based on the previous conversation, and certainly our desire to work closely with you on the progress that each of you are making in your working groups. And finally, because in each of the case examples that has been a priority in recent weeks, we'd like to be able to utilize that time to go over those cases with you and to determine how we can structure our path going forward from there.
Thank you very much, Caroline. Before we get to substantive questions, and I'm jumping ahead a bit, but in Beijing, we'll go over the proposed agenda for Beijing in detail later. But I had, I think as we discussed, Caroline, suggested that the morning hours of Monday, the 30th, be the time where we could interact with Berkman telephonically. I think with the time difference, that's probably the better window for you is the morning in Beijing as opposed to the afternoon in Beijing. Is that going to work on your end? Have you had a chance to check the agenda?
Absolutely.
Okay, and I've got a four-hour block set up there, so we should be able to get a lot of work done. Turning to the substance of your work as you're getting into it, have you started outreach in terms of setting up interviews with ICANN staff and members of the community and getting your questionnaire and other tools pulled together? How is that effort coming along?
So we have, in the process of the work that we've done, in addition to the case studies, we've been doing quite an extensive review of literature, blogs, and other types of commentary with the goal of really broadening our approach and making sure that we address a number of different viewpoints, particularly with regard to the case studies. We have, in terms of each of the case studies, developed a questionnaire that we hope to refine by the end of tomorrow, in which case we have a list of potential interviewees. We've begun some initial outreach and we'll plan to ramp it up tomorrow in the hopes to get as many underway as possible and finalize it and prepare it and integrate it into the case studies in time for Beijing, with the hopes that coming out of that discussion we'll have identified the next round of people, where the gaps are, and how we can proceed most effectively on deepening our analysis.
Very good. Any questions from the review team for Caroline?
Yes, Peter here. I've got one. I'm looking particularly at paragraph 3, the draft public input memo. Is it the case that all of that work would fall into our working group 3? That is, it says it's analysis of the public submissions process, so that all of that is looking at the public response side of stuff that question 3 is looking at. So you're not proposing to look at anything to do with working groups 1, 2, or 4. Is that a fair reading of that?
I would say that this, when we talk about the thematic zone, we identified this one as one of the priorities to be looking at. But within each one, particularly as we look through the case studies, there will be certainly overlap with each of the working groups. So by the time we come to Beijing, I think that we'll have a set of questions certainly related to the draft case studies for each of the working groups, and to the extent that they intersect with your work and working hypotheses, we'll have prepared accordingly. And this was the first area that we thought to do more of a broad-based memo in the hopes of stimulating conversation on that front.
So I didn't really understand that. So working group 1 is looking at the composition of the board and how it might be structured. So I'm not quite sure how any of the stuff that appears in 3, for example, has anything to do with that.
Yes, 3 is a deeper dive specifically into the public input memo process. If there are ways that we can restructure it, I'm happy to do that. I think that in looking ahead to the next 2 weeks, we had thought that it best to choose one area to focus on in particular and to start doing an analysis via three case examples, but I'd welcome the input of this group if you feel as though we should approach it from a different perspective.
Well, I'm not sure there's anything wrong with it. I'm just wanting to be clear that's what it is, and equally it doesn't look like it's attempting to analyze the board-GAC relationship or the use of GAC advice,
mm-hmm.
for example, or how to deal with possible appeal from board decisions. So I guess the answer is if you're going to do a deep dive into the work of what falls into three, is there time to get back and look at some of the others in the timeline?
I think I would love to go back and talk with my team, and I'd be happy to provide an update on that front. I think the way that, we had really focused in particular on the public input process in this particular memo with the hopes that some of the findings from the case studies in the XXX case and the GPLD case, we would be able to interact with and interface with the other working groups. But, yes, with this particular proposal, we have prioritized this area.
Okay.
But I'm happy to go back and speak with the team and see if we can spread it out more fully.
Brian, it's Chris. Can I ask a question, please?
Oh, yes, please.
Sorry, this may be a function of me not having been around for the whole time, but I just for clarity, Caroline, I'm not clear how paragraph 3 refers back to the scope, the three case studies and the scope of what it is that you're doing, the work scope. Can you just give me a very brief overview of that?
Sure. I think as far as how we had conceived of this memo, and again, it's really a starting point for thinking about the analysis, in an effort to start to do, with each of the case studies, we've done our initial fact-finding and tried to develop a more detailed questionnaire to reach out to various people who would be able to help highlight the different ways that the thematic areas that each of the working groups is focused on relates as far as the case study goes. And in this case, we thought that we would choose three specific examples through which to analyze one of the particular areas, so that would be the public input process. But again, I think it's going back and forth between the examples and the thematic analysis to try to come up with a starting memo, which would be one piece of a broader, obviously of the broader report, but a first opportunity to do the deeper analysis, and in that case, determining how our work can best align with yours, and to see if our hypotheses, at least in that particular zone, align with yours. Is that useful? Is that helpful?
Yes, thank you.
Caroline, let me ask the question another way. I think I'm hearing a thread through this. Is, you know, Berkman's work is in some form may tie back to each of the four working groups. That's certainly within the ambit of the work that you're undertaking. You're not just choosing work group three to focus on that exclusively, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I think our goal here is certainly to do as much work as we can towards each of the working groups with a goal towards being as specific as possible and trying to, I think, maximize as much as we can the opportunity to interface directly with the working group teams, and I think Beijing is a wonderful opportunity for that. I think we'll have much that we've already done, as I said, I think, in staging our own process. So we expect to have quite detailed working drafts of each of the case studies, and I think that will generate quite a bit that relates to a number of different working groups, and we'll present it as such. And the goal with number three, or the third item, was to start to do a deeper analysis with the goal of certainly having this be one piece of the pillars of the final report.
Okay, thank you very much. Other questions for Caroline? Any questions for Caroline? Okay, let's then move to items 4 and 5, and I think both of these have threads, Caroline, into discussions that we've had. The survey tool, number 4, on the agenda tonight. The review team has looked at a survey tool crafted by Big Pulse. We've talked about whether we might use it as a review team. I asked you about it. I'm not sure if you retrieved it from the website or if it's just the recent email that you've got it. But the question was, could the review team make use of this survey tool in collecting data for itself? Likewise, could Berkman make use of this survey tool? Would it want to make use of the survey tool in collecting data?
I'm sorry, Brian? Yes, sorry. Could you please repeat that? I'm sorry about that. I just dropped out for a second.
Was Berkman, the survey tool that was identified, the Big Pulse survey tool, is that a tool that would be useful to Berkman in collecting data as well, in addition to the questionnaire you developed, or is that something that you might not use because the review team was debating itself whether or not to use it?
Sure. Well, actually, we didn't have a chance to review it, and thank you for pointing us to it. It would be great to hear the thoughts of the review team as far as how you were thinking of utilizing it. It does seem that it could enable some type of low-cost feedback from the community during the process, and it would be great to hear your thoughts on what kind of understanding or how you might utilize it as a team.
Well, the farthest we've gotten, and Cheryl, please feel free to jump in, the farthest we've gotten is mapping the elements of paragraph 9.1 in the form of questions as a survey. And it, when you get a chance to open the link, you'll see that it runs as a survey question. And the thought was we put this out to the community to get yet additional feedback in process from the community. One of the operating questions for us was, is the form of the questions correct, accurate, well-structured? Does it need to be better structured to be, you know, an accurate survey collection tool? Cheryl, did you want to add some thought to that?
Yes, thank you, Brian. I did. I think most importantly, Caroline, is when we were toying with this as a concept, we were looking at something that would give us a point, a line in the sand, for want of a better word, that will give us then a point to measure from in any future follow-up work. So you'll notice when you get into it that it's one of those, how do you feel, you know, on a scale of 1 to 5 about this, that, or the other. I'm only concerned, Brian, at this point that unless there is value in doing this and it is recognised and put into play fairly early, that it's going to be something that's going to be just run too late to be giving us the necessary input that we desired when we were back in Marina Del Rey talking about measurables. So I'd actually value the feedback from the professionals at Berkman to see whether we've wasted our time and energy going down this pathway or should it be put on the For Futures list.
Caroline,
can I come in on this as well? Because it was a discussion that we had at the end of the last meeting that I think triggered it to be putting it onto this. We were all a bit surprised when we got a set of questions without any sort of theoretical discussion. I don't actually mind if we do a polling like this at all. It may well be useful. But my concern is a much deeper one, that this seemed to be being put forward as the answer to that paragraph in the framework for review that I think you and Cheryl drafted, which talks about, and I'm just reading from it here, the RT should identify and analyze definitions of performance indicators and determine methods for selecting applicable performance indicators. The RT should identify and analyze a variety of performance indicators for consideration and its recommendations. And then you mentioned the SMART metrics. That is a very good discussion that will produce hopefully really useful results. And my worry was that this survey was being produced as the output from that discussion, not And that was what concerned me. So I don't mind at all if there's a, you know, it would be very helpful if we can afford it and do it to get some questions that might be useful from year to year. I think they could probably be extracted from the public comments that we've already had, but it still might be quite useful to have another line. But my concern is, you know, where is the work, who is doing the work on that very much more important question about what indicators, what performance measurements are we actually going to use?
So, Peter, thanks for that clarification. I didn't interpret the survey tool to be the answer to that question that you just posed. I viewed it as simply a tool that we could use to pose questions to the community in process to collect more data for our broader set of work. My concern about the survey tool is that, as most of us know, crafting a question for a survey is a science and, I guess, to some degree, an art. And I don't think that we on the team, if somebody does have that skill, I apologize, I'm not sure that we on the team have that skill. So my question to Berkman and these researchers who are more in the business of collecting data in a neutral and scientifically correct manner, do they think this is a useful tool? Could this bring data into the broader effort of the group? Your question about performance metrics is an open question in terms of how we advance that work, but thank you for the clarification. So, Caroline, I guess I'd ask you if you could take a look at this survey tool and if you could come back to the team sometime before Beijing and give us your sense of if it's useful to us as a data collection method. And if so, we would very much likely either want you to help craft the questions or assist us in crafting the questions and get them out to the community in a timely fashion. So could you give us that feedback as soon as possible?
Yes, we'd be happy to. I think we're happy to look at it, to think about what kind of feedback you could get during the review process and try to determine if it could deliver value going forward. So I'm happy to share that with colleagues who are well-versed in survey questioning.
That'd be great.
Just to make that easier for Caroline, we were all given a login to look at this as a draft. Brian, would it be easy enough for you to forward your login details to Caroline so she can go in as you as a clone and play with it properly?
Absolutely. Yep. Okay, other questions on the survey tool? Okay, why don't we move on then? Item number 4 on the agenda is document management and administrative support. We did discuss this, Caroline, as I've told you, in the review team. The way I've articulated it is I would like to have one set of eyes, one person who is responsible for the entirety of the effectively library that's going to be generated by this review. And by library, I mean the documentation that we relied upon when we've drafted the report and the recommendations, the source documents that we're citing throughout. We had a discussion on a call last week with yourself and Urs. I put the outstanding request to you as well. Is there a resource on the Berkman side that might be available to assist on this front?
I think that it's still something that we're trying to figure out. As I've said in the past couple of weeks, we had certainly since last call dove into our work, and we have a suite of tools that we utilize here towards document management. I agree that's a very important question, and we want to have those eyes for consistency and rigor and other things. To be honest, we haven't quite resolved the question on how to bring our document management together with yours, but I think it's something that I'll try to give a sense of. We certainly have some folks on this side who would be able to contribute to such a process, but I think it will be quite big. So I think we'll need to think about how to do that best.
Okay. If you have any suggestions or resources, by all means, please bring them forward. Chris, I know that you and I spoke, and you said that you might be able to search for some resources on that front.
Yes, I did. You sent me a note of the sort of description.
Was that helpful?
Yeah, I'll see what I can do.
Okay. Any questions on document management and administrative support? Okay, then let's move on to number 6, other business. Let's dive into Beijing. I did circulate a proposed agenda for Beijing. I hope everyone's had a chance to take a look at it. It's not terribly complicated. You'll see, as I mentioned in our discussion with Caroline, that I had proposed that we spend the morning of Monday interacting with Berkman telephonically. And I've allotted a 3.5-hour block here for that interaction. I want to cover off as we go through this entire agenda. I do want to there's a standing question about the working group's ability to interact with Berkman. And there was a recognition on the call last time that because of overlapping volunteers across the working groups, it's very difficult for the working groups to break out on their own and do individualized work. So keeping that in mind, this first block of time, 3.5 hours, Caroline, it sounds to me like the working hypotheses that you're going to deliver to us and the work that you're going to do specifically on the public comment might be dense enough to chew up all those 3.5 hours. Is that your sense as well?
Yes, definitely. I would say the case studies themselves coupled with the hypotheses and the public input memo, I think, would certainly take up this amount of time. And from our perspective, as far as working directly with the working groups, I think this would be a great opportunity to bring those different streams together. So that seems the right time to me.
Okay, and that's what I was thinking as well. I, as you see on day two, I've got the 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock slot, also with follow-up interactions with Berkman as needed. I think in we could, and I'd be interested to hear what the team thinks, we could have the 8:30 to 12 slot on Monday for Berkman to report in their work and for us to have a discussion and ask them questions about their work. And we could use the 9 to 12 on Tuesday session to have the individual working groups have an opportunity on a one-off basis to interact with Berkman, ask questions, help develop their work, and have that interaction. Does that make sense to folks on the team? Open table. Must be brilliant or breathtakingly idiotic. I'm not sure which. Any opinions? Does this make sense?
Yeah, Brian, Peter here. Can I just come back to ask you I don't quite understand the hypothesis that you at the beginning. Just let me get that clear so that I can help with the next. You said it was hard for the working groups to break out and do work alone because of the overlap in the examples. Can you just...
No, there's overlapping membership in the working groups because a number of us are on a number of working groups.
Oh, I see.
We can't divide ourselves in two or three and go off into separate rooms with the respective working groups. That was the practical problem identified. The hypotheses refer to Berkman's specific deliverables. They are developing hypotheses that relate back to the case studies. And in addition to those working hypotheses on the case studies, they're going to develop an issues paper on the public comment piece that we spent some time discussing. So the suggestion is for 8:30 to 12 on the first day, that block of time, Berkman reports into the review team, walks us through their working hypotheses as they relate to the case studies, walks us through the public comment piece of work that they've done, and we have a vigorous Q&A and discussion on that piece at that block in that block of time. The other thing I was trying to find was a block of time where each working group could interact with Berkman. We could be together as a full team but go one working group at a time so they could have an interaction with Berkman for 45 minutes or so, and ask the questions that they want to ask of Berkman, share the work that they're progressing in their respective areas, and have a good exchange as had been requested on the last call. So I was suggesting we could do that in the 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock block on Tuesday morning, and was asking if that makes sense.
Well, if I can come back, I think that makes excellent sense. If you give each group 45 minutes, but in the presence of the whole group, and the agenda item is Working Group 1 and Berkman, and then Working Group 2 and Berkman, although some may take longer than others, I think that's certainly a very good starting point.
That's the suggestion on the table. Discussion?
Brian, Sorry, this is Caroline. I just wanted to say I think that sounds great, particularly the idea that the working groups would each have an opportunity to interface directly with us, and I think having that kind of exchange would really enhance our work as far as understanding where each of you have progressed to.
Okay, thanks, Caroline.
Brian, this is Manal.
Yes, Manal and Willie.
I was wondering if we can just start a little bit late on Monday, maybe like Tuesday or something, to allow for members who will be flying in on Monday, unless I'm the only person, then I could join in a little bit late.
No, excellent question, Manal. Let's get that squared away right now. Is there anybody besides Manal who can't make 8:30 on Monday the 30th as a start time in the morning? Manal, what time do you get in?
8:30.
You land at 8:30.
So it's okay if I'm the only person, which obviously is. I can join in a little bit late. It's okay.
Well, okay, let's have a conversation offline. Let's talk about your itinerary and find out what your precise logistics are, and we can certainly look at making adjustments. Is there anybody else on the review team? Everyone can make an 8:30 start on Monday if that's where we land. Okay. So it seems we have consensus on the approach for Monday morning and Tuesday morning?
Yes.
Very good. And just to clarify, I envision Berkman joining us for Monday morning's block of time until the lunch hour in Beijing, and then Berkman would drop off. So then in the afternoon, the 1:15 to 3:15, for example, where the Working Group 1 and Working Group 2 are reporting their progress, that would be the review team in open session, but I wouldn't envision Berkman participating. I think that's getting into the early morning hours anyway. East Coast time. And so the afternoon of Monday, the review team meets together in full, in public. Each working group walks through its progress report one at a time. And then moving through Tuesday, we have the morning time blocked out. We move to lunch. And then the 1:15 to 3:15 two-hour block, full review team discussion regarding the working group's progress and final work product. And by final work product, I really mean with the inputs from Berkman, with the full discussion with the working groups at this point in time, we should, as a full team, be in a position to start putting a finer point on the path to building recommendations. So that's a two-hour block dedicated to that discussion, followed by a break. And then 3:30 to 5 is targeted for other business if we need the time.
Yep.
That's also... Yes, please, Manal. Was that Manal?
No, Cheryl said yes, we'll need the time.
Very good. Are there any suggested changes to the agenda for Beijing?
Brian, just a couple of things. Peter here. Firstly, many of us will be there the night before, and if we can get together for a dinner, that might be productive. And secondly, if there's anything that I can do in relation to making staff or any other resources available, if people could let me know. For example, would it be helpful to have Denise or someone on telephonic standby at any stage, or if people could think about what they might need, I'm happy to try and make it available.
Thank you for the offer, Peter. I think that's a good suggestion. We may very well be into a depth of work where you're calling in Denise or somebody else from staff in terms of research or documentation might be useful.
And just my own follow-up to that, if I might, Brian, I saw Chris asking for the documents and things. Has that been answered? Are you happy with that, Chris? Have you got all that you need? And secondly, has everybody else got all that they need from staff in terms of promised and asked for documents?
I believe I've been given everything that there is, Peter, but there are still items outstanding. I'll be working on this tonight, tomorrow, so I'll come back to the list with any further questions tomorrow, hopefully. But there are some items outstanding. I believe that we have, unless I've missed it, I don't think we've actually had the stuff. We asked for some documents, I believe, which I don't think we have yet. Brian, is that right, or have I misunderstood?
We do. I actually did an inventory myself before the call, Chris, and I'm happy to compare notes with you offline. I went through what Denise produced on the 28th of May. I think there's an item, catalog of changes since JPA, that I didn't see in that mix of documents.
Okay.
And there may be a few that that are either partially available or, for example, there may be others that may be partially responsive. But I went through it with a fine-tooth comb. I'm happy to compare this with you off-list and make sure that we have a full understanding of what's been delivered and what's outstanding.
Thank you, Brian. That's great. And Peter, just to answer your question, other than that, yes, I think I've been given everything I asked for.
Great. Well, Brian, you've got a direct line to Denise, so I don't need to get involved. But if there's anything I can do, let me know.
Yeah, no, Peter, on this, absolutely not. That's a routine interaction with Denise, and I'll take it up as such. But in terms of having staff available for the Beijing meetings, I'll ping you on that, and that's a good suggestion. Thank you. Okay. Any other? I understand that Feng he's having a call with Alice and will be addressing issues such as lunch and dinner and other logistics. But Peter, your suggestion is a good one for all those who are in town on Sunday evening. To the extent that we're still awake, it's be a good idea for us to get together for a bite to eat and catch up.
Yeah.
Any other suggestions on Beijing? Yes.
Brian, this is James.
Yes, James.
Yes, any updates on dial-in services for Warren and I since we were participating remotely?
As well as Louis, correct, Louis? Louis, you're going to be remote as well, right?
Yes, I am.
Alice?
Yes, actually, Corey and I, we've had a phone call, and we are going to provide tools for remote participants to join and provide their contributions as well. So it's all being handled, and we'll probably forward the details to you shortly before the conference call, a few days before the conference call starts.
Thank you.
Any other discussion or questions on Beijing? Okay, we are moving smartly through the agenda. We're at the last item. Update on Cartagena, face-to-face meeting logistics. I note we have 24 minutes left in the call, but I'm hoping, unlike prior calls, maybe we won't use all 24 minutes talking about one of our face-to-face meeting logistics. Are there open questions on Cartagena?
Well, but Peter here, I had an action item after the last one, which was to see if the desirable result could be achieved, and it seems as if it can. There seems to be no difficulty in principle with having a meeting with the board on the Sunday. So although that hasn't been finalized yet, there seems to be no problem, and I think people can proceed on the basis that that is what's going to happen.
That's great, Peter. Thanks for that confirmation. So then our meetings then will pivot around the Sunday. If I recall the conversation at our last call, there was a suggestion that we would meet as a team before we met with the board, and then we would meet with the board, and then we would want to have a kind of debrief meeting as a full team. And the other meeting that we felt was necessary but might happen midweek instead of Sunday afternoon or Monday, was the meeting with the community to effectively read out the near final recommendations. Is that an accurate recollection of the structure of our meetings as we discussed it?
Yeah, it's on.
Yep.
Okay, very good. Very good. That's great. All right, good news, Peter. Thanks for that. Then let's proceed on structuring our meetings around that Sunday with a team meeting prior to the board meeting. Peter, whenever you can get a time set for that, obviously that'll help us lock in the rest of the meetings, the pre-meeting, the debrief meeting, and then who should we speak to about setting up the meeting with the community? Alice, is that something you can help us with?
Yes, of course, yeah.
Okay, if you take that on as an action item and get that locked
mm-hmm.
in, I think the understanding among the review team is that whoever can only stay for those first 2 days and has to leave town, that's fine. Whoever can stay on and be present for the meetings with the community will do so. Okay. Other questions about Cartagena?
What is the situation about the... Oh, geez, Olivier. What is the situation about the hotels? Are there recommendations?
Alice?
Actually, the meeting staff is currently in Cartagena this week, so I'm expecting an email from them soon, sooner or later.
Thank you.
Any other questions on Cartagena?
Brian, Peter here, if there aren't. I wonder if we could spend a couple of minutes on post-Cartagena. We've got the December 31st deadline, I guess it is, for submitting the report. How do we see things happening after we finish the last public meeting exercise and then people leave Cartagena? How do you see it actually working to get that final report, including working with Berkman, et cetera, to get a report delivered within the deadline?
Well, we've only got a matter of, 2.5 weeks, really, or so, to get a final report in after Cartagena. So, as I recall the last time we discussed this, whatever we report into the board and out to the community in Cartagena is going to be very much in near final form. Mm-hmm. And I would think that, you know, the interaction with the board would be critical, and that I imagine there could be, depending on that interaction, some adjustments to the report. So we'd want to give some leeway for those adjustments, but I can't imagine that we wouldn't want to have the report nearly finalized, modest adjustments, and you'd want to leave no more than a week's time to get those adjustments into the report and reviewed by the team and signed off on. Does that sound reasonable to everyone? Or am I missing something?
Well, it starts with an assumption, and if the assumption's true, then all else follows. The assumption is that, you know, the bulk of the work will have been done, and things are in a reasonably ready state for disclosure and useful discussion at those meetings. If that works out, that'll work fine. We'll go home, and there'll be some tweaking to do. My worry, of course, is that any part of that isn't true, and we suddenly have to stop and rethink or do some work that has been exposed as not being done or not being done properly. So I guess it's having a contingency plan for that eventuality. I mean, I'm very keen, I think everyone is, to make sure that we meet this deadline, even though it's, as everyone's commented, is a very stringent one.
No question about that. Any discussion from the team on this?
Brian, maybe it's just a question of penciling in a two-day or an emergency meeting that we can very happily not use, but just, you know, put a couple of days, ask people if they can do it now, to put those days aside. And say, hopefully, we get them back and can use them in another way, but they're there if something goes wrong.
That makes sense. We'll take a look at the calendar, look at the end dates of Cartagena, afford for a day or two of travel, and then pencil in 2 days as those emergency editing days, if you will. Makes sense.
And with my tongue planted very firmly in the side of my cheek, there are a couple of lawyers on this group, and we all know what lawyers are like when it comes to editing other people's documents.
So. You sure do. Okay, anything else on Cartagena? Any other business before we close?
Yes, Brian. Chris, I have one thing, please, if I may.
Yes, Chris.
Thank you. I don't want to make too much of this, but I've had several pieces of very good feedback about the announcement we put out, but I've had one piece of feedback from more than one person, which is expressing a concern about the way that we have phrased the case study on XXX.
Yep.
And I have concerns because I put a comment into the note, into your original draft, saying I thought that the case study on XXX was on specifically on the review process, not on the application process. And the announcement we put out actually says XXX application. It's such a delicate area politically. I'm concerned to ensure that the community is fully aware of what is being reviewed and what isn't.
I'm not sure what the solution is, but I, unless I'm wrong, in that we, it is actually the application that's being reviewed. I was under the impression it's the review process.
I think you're right, Chris. That was the intention, and the edit was it did read application and decision, and we all agreed decision was not what was being reviewed, and that was eliminated from the text. But hang on.
I think we also use it frequently as an example where there'd be consideration of GAC advice. So that must be the application process, because that was where the advice was received and used or not.
Yes, that's right, Peter, but my question was not what we review, but what is Berkman reviewing as a case study. If they are actually reviewing the application process, that's fine. I have a problem with it. As long as we're clear that they are reviewing, as I understand it, the review process as well.
I believe that was the understanding, Chris, and as a matter of timetable, their case studies, they can review anything up until the start date of the Brussels meeting. That's the time bounding that we put around their case studies. So I agree. I concur that that was the understanding, that it was application and review process. And well, if that was unclear in the announcement, then that might be something we want to correct.
Brian, sorry, this is Caroline. I'd love to respond to that, having been a part of the initial writing of the case study. We are, in fact, looking at both processes, and I'm looking at the announcement now. That was certainly our understanding as well, so I just wanted to confirm that.
So thank you, Caroline. Chris again. Just to be clear here, and I'm not saying one thing or another, I just want to be clear. Is this process looking at, in any way, the board's decision-making process on XXX, or is it looking at possibly the GAC's interaction with the board on XXX and the subsequent review process? Because I think that any review of the board's decision-making process is dangerous in the extreme, considering that it's been the subject of fairly lengthy arbitration and legal proceedings.
I think I should say, from a starting point, our focus had been on the IRP process, and with the understanding that both the application and IRP process were a part of the review. I should say that I would probably want to talk with the team members that have been leading that process to see the shape of the approach. But I would certainly welcome feedback either on this call or over email about your recommendations regarding how we should approach it.
Okay. Chris, did that satisfy you?
Well, yes, it's sort of in a way. I mean, yes, except that with all due respect to everybody at Berkman, it's actually our decision what they decide, what they do, not theirs. But leaving that aside for a second, Peter's just put a note up, which I think puts it very succinctly, which is that I understood this review team agreed that it didn't want to relitigate the previous hearing. So it seems to me that we need to be very careful to ensure the XXX is a really, really important thing for a couple of very good reasons, because it involved advice, clear advice from the GAC. Well, it may not have been clear, but it was clear that it was advice, and it involved the only example of the decision of the board going through the review process. And for those reasons, it needs to be examined. But it would be extremely dangerous, I think, for us to be reviewing the board's process of decision, because that's already been reviewed, and it's not appropriate for us to take the place of the or add to the review by the arbitrator.
I don't think there was any thought amongst the team to concur with Peter's point that there would be a relitigation of the questions.
Certainly not.
From a conceptual standpoint, .XXX represented the first use of the IRB, and to examine the IRB process and what that might tell us about how well that functions or not as a process was within the ambit, unless I'm mistaken.
No, I absolutely agree with you, Brian. That is exactly what I understood was being done.
Yep.
Right.
And that is, I would like to confirm that is our understanding as well.
Okay. So the application, the Dr. Block's application process and the IRB process on .XXX, as we just described it, are the two spheres.
Yes.
And Peter, is that...
excuse me, I just wanted to say, Peter, I very much appreciate the question itself. Our approach certainly reflects that in our understanding as well. I think in looking at the announcement, I can see where the confusion is, but certainly that was our understanding and the approach that we're taking. And again, from a process perspective, we will be sharing a draft of that in Beijing, and we look forward to having a full conversation and your feedback on it.
Brian, Willie here?
Yes, Willie.
Yes, and I would agree with Chris that it's the issue of the nature of the GAC advice. That is also part of the assessment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We can, of course, as Peter here, we can, of course, give you a complete summary of the GAC advice that's been scheduled, anything like that you want. I mean, that's all being scheduled by staff and considered, you know, and bundled into one place. So if you want anything like that, ask. I think this is the sort of example where the working groups need to work closely with Berkman to make sure that what's done by Berkman is useful to the actual topics of the review. So the people who are looking at the relationship with the GAC have got a real focus on the GAC advice and what was done with it. The people who are looking at the appeal mechanisms are very interested, I'm sure, in looking at how this appeal mechanism was used. So I think it's a question of the review of the working groups being clear about where they're going and then saying how the case study would help them with their work. So I'd drive it if that's not turning things around. I thought the case studies were supposed to support the work of the working group. So why don't we ask the chairs of the working groups to liaise with Berkman over that one, so that those two things work in sync.
And I think Beijing will be an excellent opportunity to make sure that we're all in sync on these issues. But there's just to touch again, Peter, the description of the spheres of study you are comfortable with, it's understood. That's the consensus of the team. That is the .XXX application process and the IRB as a process for .XXX.
Well, I'm not sure whether you're asking me a question.
Did that description satisfy your understanding of the approach on the case study?
Which description?
That Berkman would be looking at the .XXX application process on the one hand and the IRB process as it pertained to .XXX.
Well,
as a review mechanism process and how it functioned in that process, how it was used.
No, because that will inevitably, if they look at the application process, that's inevitably going to traverse the same ground as the hearing, which is... Well, precisely what was challenged was the way the board went about that process. I think you need to be a bit more specific about it. It's the element such as GAC advice in the process or something else that fits an actual review topic that I think is important.
That's exactly the point I was trying to make. I agree with Peter. It's the GAC situation and the review process that really should be looked at, not the application process itself or, you know, whether it was a good idea to have... those sorts of types of TLDs and so on.
So, Chris, would you articulate for me what you think should be the focus of the study?
Yes, I think the study should be about two things. It should be about the review process. So, whatever mechanism, once the decision was made to decline .XXX's application, a series of processes were gone through, culminating in the final arbitration. That is absolutely reviewable by the Accountability and Transparency Working Group and its contract at Berkman because it's very relevant. The second thing that is relevant, specifically in respect to Working Group 2, is the interaction between the GAC and the board in respect to the triple X process, because that is an example of something where the GAC provided, quote, advice, unquote, to the board. Both of those two things, I believe, sit fairly and squarely in this review team, but I do not think that the application process does.
So the fact that interaction between the GAC and the board from a temporal perspective may have happened during the application process is irrelevant. It's on its own. The GAC interaction is its own area of study, irrespective of whether it fell within the time of the application process.
It's a discrete area, isn't it?
Okay. Yeah, no, I just want to be crystal clear on this one. That's all. Okay, so I can see where the announcement may have sent the wrong signal to the community, and perhaps this is worth clarifying.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I will...
Can I get clarification about an even simpler thing? Which announcement are we talking about? Because we've made...
The announcement of Berkman, Peter, where we announced the selection of Berkman. We gave a description of the work, and it was description section that we have .XXX. It's not in front of me, but I know the word application is in there, and that's what Chris has heard about, and that's what he seized on. So I think we need to clarify that. I'll put something together, a brief draft together, clarification, and send it to the team for review. Okay.
Brian, one last point. Can I just pick up on something that you mentioned, and that's the time-boundedness of the work?
Yes.
I've had a question from a board member about that. I'm just trying to find the email. We agreed, I think, that we would finish up, the work would finish at Berkman, finish at Brussels. One of our methodology statements from Marina Del Rey said that the data collection would be divided into three time periods. First, data concerning ICANN accountability from October 1. Second, historical data collection, which would cover the period of October 1, 2006 to September 30th. That's the JPA through until the ending of that. And thirdly, the midterm, the period prior to October the 1st, 2006, to the extent that there are any relevant documents. So that's an extraordinary, that actually is an item. That's before October the 1st, 2006, and after the 1st of October 2006. So that's actually all of history, all of recorded history back to the Mayans and the Aztecs, which I'm not sure was quite what we intended. And I'm sure Berkman need to be given some slightly better parameters than that. I don't think this is contentious. I just think I'm certainly not content. Don't mind, as long as we're clear what it is. And it may be it may be different for each example, for each bit of work.
My recollection that there was a little bit of, we put a little bit of weight on the respective periods, and I think it's the one prior to October 1st, 2006 is reflected in what you just quoted, that to the extent there's relevant documents, that we recognize, for example, that the bylaws are relevant documents, and to the extent that the last version occurred prior, or, you know, the articles of incorporation. But there was some form of weighting on undertakings on accountability and transparency, and a recognition that the undertakings on accountability and transparency, whether it was the PSC or other undertakings, occurred in the last, you know, 3 to 5 year period. So there was some weighting, as I recall, but a recognition that relevant documentation could reach all the way back to the beginning of ICANN, and we wouldn't want to foreclose reaching back to the white paper, articles of incorporation, whatever may provide some relevance to some thread of study here. Is that consistent with others' recollection?
Yes.
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 Yeah.
Well, I wonder if Berkman understand that we've got a document that says the RT anticipates putting the greatest emphasis on the periods, etc. That's not included in the contract. How do we make sure that Berkman have the same understanding that we do?
Well, I think Berkman has access to all these documents. I think we've provided or pointed them to them, and we've actually required Berkman in our contract to essentially follow our methodology. So, if you don't have those terms of reference documents and methodology documents, let me know. But those are.
Yeah, thank you.
Peter, does that answer the question for the board member in question?
I think so. I guess it's a question that we're going to come up against more and more when the actual review is how well is ICANN performing its commitments under the affirmation of commitments. So looking at what happened before there was an affirmation of commitments is only really of sort of contextual relevance. The scope of the major thrust of everything seems to me to be, you entered in these commitments on the 1st of October. What have you done? How are you living up to those commitments? That's what most of us think the review is about. So I guess that's the point of it. There doesn't seem to be any need to be too stringent about limiting people, and if people need to go and look at things so they can make decisions, that's fine. But as long as the focus is as long as our report focuses on how well is ICANN doing against its affirmation of commitments?
I'm sure it will explicitly focus on that. I think there's also some relevance, as you say, contextually to attempts to improve accountability and transparency. And since the AOC was signed just only, last October, while that would be the most directly relevant time period, I think there was a sense on the review team that looking both, for the positive and the areas where it may be lacking, looking back at the most recent attempts to improve accountability and transparency would add some very useful context. And I think that's the thinking that was behind the rationale that we took, or the framework that we're taking to this.
That's right.
Caroline, let's be sure we follow up on these points, and if there are any documents that you don't have, I'd be happy to point you to them and go through them with you, and if there's any discussion you or the team want to have in terms of our approach to this, please let's have that.
Sure, of course. That sounds great. Just in quick response, I know the call is closing, but I just wanted to thank it was Peter and Chris for the XXX discussion. I was just going to say, to the extent that there are other points of clarification or ways that we can interact with the working groups at this stage, of course we'd be happy to. I know that we decided that we would do it collectively on this list, but I just wanted to flag that. Obviously that kind of interaction is very helpful to our work.
Any other business? I encourage everyone on the working groups to please continue doing the very good work that you're doing, and I look forward to seeing you all in Beijing.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Bye.
Thank you all.
Thanks, Brian. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.